1240 WATN.
We got us 23 degrees outside our WATN studios here on this Thursday morning, the fourth day of November. And a guest in the studio today, glad that he could make it. It's geologist Don Patton. And Don is here, of course, in conjunction with the Tri-County Church of Christ. And Don is a, as I said, a noted geologist. And boy, Don, you've got a list of credits here, 9 miles long. You've been at this for a while.
I'm afraid so.
He's done digging all over the world, not just in this country. And Don, of course, is here to talk about the theory of evolution, right?
We'll be talking about that together with the idea that it was all created not too long ago.
Well, most scientists, of course, go with the monkey theory, right?
I think you could say that, though there are quite a few who do not.
Uh-huh.
Very highly credentialed scientists in very important places in our country. Some of the greatest scientists are creationists. Dr. Carroll, who is head of the National Genome Project, which is probably the greatest scientific achievement of our time, the sequencing of the human genome. The director of that program is a strong creationist, for example, and people are told that to be a scientist you have to be an evolutionist. That is not true.
That's usually the popular belief. Have you always believed this way, or did you kind of come around to it? Or
I have examined the ideas. Yes, I grew up as a creationist. My father was a preacher, but like a lot of teenagers, we don't like to go along what Dad says.
Yeah.
But he did teach me that I needed to look for truth, and that search for truth brought me to where he was, in spite of the fact that he was my father.
Well, what can you tell us about this? Why you think the way you do?
Well, because of the evidence.
Okay.
I think we need to examine the evidence. When you look at the fossil record, for example, you get to what's defined as the lowest layer, the Cambrian. You have what the geologist and evolutionist call an explosion of life. You have every major phyla, that is division in biology, including the chordates, us, the animals with backbones, in that lowest layer. In fact, you have more phyla there than you have now. We've lost some of them. It's gone downhill instead of uphill. So when you begin with sudden complex animals right at the start, even more than we have now, and we see it's degenerated, that doesn't look like evolution. It's just the opposite. My work has been with the dinosaurs, and we've dug up dinosaurs, as you've noticed, all over the world. And often we find evidence of humans along with the dinosaurs. Now, the standard view that's taught just by rote in school is they're 65 million years apart. Well, how do you know that? Well, you're not supposed to ask that question. That's millions and millions of years ago. No man ever saw the dinosaur and all. And, of course, they give you reasons for that, right? No, they just say that. But we find evidence that they were together. The North American Indians were drawing pictures of dinosaurs 1,000 years ago on the canyon walls out west. We find that in Colorado and Utah and New Mexico, and very specific dinosaurs. Down in Peru, you find the burial stones of the Incas from about 2,500 years ago, together with their pottery and burial cloths, show the dinosaur motif. They were carving very specific triceratops and brontosaurus types 2,500 years ago. Now, we've known what dinosaurs looked like, we're told, maybe 200 years. 200 years ago, we didn't have a very good idea, but we'd found the first bones in modern times. But they were drawing very accurate, not bones, but pictures of the critter in association with men on the burial stones.
So you knew they were seeing something then. In order to come up with that, they weren't just making it up.
When you see the triceratops with the three horns and the frill on his back, and it looks just like, and also the flying pterosaurs, you can't imagine something that looks, that doesn't work.
Right.
I had, in a discussion with the head of the Price Museum of Natural History in Price, Utah, and he had seen several of these petroglyphs where the Indians had drawn pictures from over 1,000 years ago. And I asked him, how did they draw pictures of that if they're 65 million years old, separated?
Really?
And it's like he hadn't really thought about it. He said, well, maybe they were smoking some of that crazy Paiute stuff. I guess had a 65-million-year-old dream. But if you think about it, all cultures have dragons in their background.
Right.
What do dragons look like?
Mm-hmm.
Carl Sagan recognized this in one of his books, The Demon-Haunted World, and acknowledged in every society all over the world, you have this concept of dragons. And he tried to explain that. He said the shrews, the little small mammals, did live at the same time as the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. And so we've inherited the memory of those shrews, and that memory of the dinosaurs is what we're thinking about with dragons. I'd like to inherit the memory of my father, but a shrew 65 million years ago is a bit of a reach.
Yeah, really. I was just going to say that.
I think there's a simpler explanation. I think they were seeing them. Sir George slew the dragon. There are pictures and statues of that all over Europe. 1265 is the date they put on it. 1066, the Battle of Hastings.
Yeah.
Nobody doubts that. But
right.
There are a number of historical accounts, 1,000 or so years ago. And when we look at what the Indians drew on the canyon walls, when we look at what we find in Peru, down in Mexico, we have cultures with ceramic materials that date to about 4,000 years ago, 3,000 to 4,000. One collection, the Chapikuro collection in the central highlands of Mexico, 33,000 figurines in this collection that was found there, and about 10% of them are of dinosaurs.
No kidding.
Just very, very specific
so
types, and they got it right. Some of the things that we've only learned in the last 10 years about dinosaurs, they had accurately portrayed in these figurines that were dug up in the 40s, but date from thousands of years ago.
Well, like you say, now we're finding stuff all the time that there's still stuff that we haven't even come across yet. That what would be probably the oldest thing that you've come across?
Well, I don't think the Earth is nearly as old as a lot of people think. If you're going to evolve things naturally, you've got to have millions and millions of years.
Right.
And when you learn about genetics, you learn that's really not enough time anyway. But this great age, I think, is a game that's played in order to justify a naturalistic explanation. I think most of the fossils that we find are the result of a great flood deposit, things that got buried rapidly, and that's how you form fossils. They're not forming today. But when you look at jellyfish that are rock,
right,
and you think about how long a jellyfish is going to last when it washes up on the beach, and it's now rock. Now, how long did it take that rock to form? Thousands of years?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to the jellyfish?
Really?
You know, he got caught in the concrete. It was a catastrophic flood deposit.
Yeah.
We've got the Ichthyosaurus, a 28-foot swimming lizard. Big, looks like a porpoise, but it's a lizard. And of course, evolutionists say if they're similar, they're kin. Well, this one is similar but isn't to the porpoise. But these things are seen in the Solnhofen limestone in Germany in the process of giving live birth. And here is the embryo half out of the birth canal on this 28-foot ichthyosaur. And if you look in the textbooks, it'll tell you that this limestone forms at 3,000 years a foot. Well, I don't believe that formed at 3,000 years a foot.
No.
And I don't think that jellyfish was formed into rock at 3,000 years a foot either. You got beautiful shells with the iridescent sheen still preserved that'll disappear one afternoon out in the sunshine down in Texas.
Yeah.
That's preserved, supposed to be 65 million years old, and the rock grew around it at the rate of 3,000 years a foot. That's just nonsense. It's not going to work. Some of the beautiful fossils we see, some of the dinosaur bones still have the DNA, the blood cells.
Wow. Okay.
Just looks like fresh bone that's not fossilized.
So you could you actually make a dinosaur from some of that?
The fact that we got
Jurassic Park
fractions of the DNA doesn't mean you can make a dinosaur.
Oh, okay, all right.
The fictional part of that is making the dinosaur from it. The reality is we do have the DNA. Sue was a very famous T-Rex that's now in the Chicago Field Museum. They paid, $5 million plus for that dinosaur. A long story behind that that's interesting, but about two-thirds of it is not fossilized.
No kidding.
And that's one of the reasons that they were really interested in getting it. It's a very valuable research tool.
Yay.
But up in Prudhoe Bay in Alaska, you can find dinosaur bones fresh. You know, Philip Curie of the Drumheller Museum said they were fresh as yesterday's dog bones.
No kidding.
I don't think they're millions of years old.
Well, they just found a bunch of pygmy hunters or something, little folks that nobody knew was around. Where was that?
Exactly,
yeah.
And they were around not too long ago. If you go back to the stories of the Dutch explorers there that were exporting the spices several hundred years ago, they told stories of seeing those things. They saw them, and they said they stole their food. And but it's a species of a person.
Mm-hmm.
In the world today, we've got some short people, and we've got some tall people. There's a huge variation. And you see that in the past as well. It's not that surprising. This is exceptionally small, but we find some exceptionally small people today.
Boy, that's something.
But I don't think it's millions of years ago.
No.
The Dutch traders spoke of it in a great deal of detail. There's a detailed history about that. They're trying to sell the idea that it's millions of years ago. I don't buy it.
Well, not with that evidence. That's interesting. I never looked at it, never thought about it. Gosh, like you say, everybody always says, oh, yeah, the dinosaurs are way back there, and then the people came along later and all this kind of deal.
The first thing you see in a book about dinosaurs, millions and millions of years ago, a scientist, to be a good scientist, needs to learn to ask why. He needs to be a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
You say millions of years ago. Okay, why? Why do you believe that? Well, when you examine the whys, it's not there. There are a lot of games they play to make it come out that way, but they don't work.
So what would be what's the oldest thing that you've actually come across?
Well, I think what we have covering the earth is about a mile and a half of sedimentary rock that is a flood deposit that goes back 4,500 years. So when
does that got anything to do with the Ice Age, or that's nothing?
I think it does. Okay. I think the Ice Age is a direct result of that, that came after it, that lasted several hundred years, maybe 700 or 800 years, but not millions.
Not millions. That's
the key. It's a direct result of a catastrophic flood imposed on the world. It's pretty different from the world that we have today. Michael Ord, who has his doctorate in atmospheric physics, wrote the book, An Ice Age Caused by the Flood. If somebody's interested in that subject, that's a real good discussion of it.
What about that big meteor blast? Is that, you got it?
That's an interesting story.
Yeah, that's supposed to have killed off everything.
There's evidence of catastrophe.
Yeah.
The meteor is not a real good explanation of what we see. They refer to the iridium, a very rare element, at this particular layer between the Cretaceous and the Tertiary, the KT boundary as it's referred to. And you do find that interface with iridium, that rare element there, but you also find two other rare elements with it they don't talk about in the same abundance. And those are never found with asteroids. Iridium, yes, but the other three, no, you can't explain it that way. But all three of them are found, are produced in volcanic eruptions and settle out from the ash. So, at the same time, over in India, we see there was a tremendous volcanic deposit with the decadent traps, as they call them, that's covering a good part of India. Similar to what we find at Columbia Plateau, a big lava flow that covered five states.
Yeah.
We don't have anything like that today, or one in India was even bigger.
Gee.
And that put debris in the upper atmosphere that settled out all around the world. And that has all three of the rare elements in it, and I think that accounts for what you find at that layer. So there were some bad things, catastrophic things going on, but I think it was in the midst of the flood that was designed to destroy the world that then was, and I think did a real good job of it.
Boy, so you're more leaning toward a volcanic eruption or something rather than
Absolutely.
A meteor theory.
Officer and Drake are two leading evolutionary geologists from Princeton and Dartmouth University. They wrote the book The Great Extinction, Great Dinosaur Extinction. And I think they made the case very well that it was not an asteroid, but was what we see evidence of is volcanism there that I think was probably in evidence around the world, but especially there in India.
Wow.
I think that explains it better, and I don't think it was that long ago.
Interesting. Hi, gosh, I wish we had more time. We could chat on this for quite a while. Anyway, Mr. Patton is going to be talking here. He's going to be giving a lecture at the Ramada Inn, and that's going to be in the Renaissance Room up here at the Ramada Inn Friday at 7 o'clock. What is creation science? On Saturday, the laws of science. And on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m., how old is the Earth? And those are all, are they free
Absolutely.
Lectures?
Absolutely. And these are not religious lectures. These are scientific. This is paleontology and geology. This is from science.
Okay. And then he's going to be, of course, at the Tri-County Church of Christ on Sunday at 10 a.m. At the Noah's Ark and the Flood. He'll be talking about that. And that's at 10 o'clock. At 11 a.m., the Record of the Rocks, going right into it. And again, at 2 p.m. at the Ramada Inn, back at the Renaissance Room, for the fossil record.
Right.
So he's got some interesting things. In fact, you shouldn't miss any of them, should you?
This will be a PowerPoint presentation. If they want to see some of these things we've been talking about, they can come look at them, decide for themselves.
Gosh, that's great. And, of course, that's going to be, if you want more information on this, 786-7884 is the number you can call. Or we've got another one, 785-1944. And, of course, the Tri-County Church of Christ is on Route 11 up Evans Mills Way, right around the saw barn. So you folks know where that is. You can zero right in on it. Well, this is interesting, Don, and I really appreciate you guys coming in here and bringing this to light. And this is definitely very interesting, and I think anybody that is following along on this idea, Don's got the evidence right here, and it makes sense to me, I'll tell you that. I can't find any fault with it. The Ramada Inn, Friday, Saturday, and Saturday afternoon up at the Tri-County Church of Christ on Sunday, and then Sunday afternoon back at the Ramada Inn at the Renaissance Room. Call them for more information. Otherwise, be there, and it is free.
Absolutely.
Can't beat it. Don,
we will have a question period. They'll be able to ask questions.
There you go. There you go. Come on up and see for yourself. Don's got the facts here. 786-7884 or 785-1944 if you'd like more information on this subject. Don, thanks a lot for coming in. Guys, thanks for bringing him aboard here. Holy
God. Thank you for having us.
All righty. Good to see you guys. I guess we got the tip of the day, and that's don't miss these lectures. That would be the tip of the day as far as I'm concerned.
You're listening to 1240 WATN Watertown.